So first of all, I would like to thank organizers to give me a possibility to talk here. And before I really will go to my talk, I would like to make like a disclaimer what will be the result of this talk. So as you most probably heard many times, to solve spectral problem at finite volume of a JCFT, you have to study Y system, which is depicted in this block. And actually, this system can have many solutions, and they have to precise how conditions to fix one solution. So we claim that if you, in addition to one system, you get a conventional constraint, which were used for a long time, and additionally impose the unimodularity constraint, and Z4 symmetry of a sigma model world sheet, this will fix your solution uniquely. And I will explain what these pictures mean. Moreover, we will solve it not using infinite set of thermodynamic by Tanzas equations, which were discussed this morning, but we will introduce a finite set of nonlinear equations, which are high rank analog of DDV equations. So this work was done in collaboration with Nikolai Gromov, Vladimir Kazakov, and Sebastian Laurent. And besides these results, I will also mention other two papers where I participated. One is with Gromov, Serban, and Shenderovich. It's about Konishi and related strong coupling, and the work by myself. Okay, so let us start. So we consider spectral problem of a JCFT, which and a JCFT tells that conformal dimension of local operators equal to energy of string states, and we want to answer the question, it is equal to what? And we want to answer this question at arbitrary value of the Hopf coupling, and of course we consider planar limit. This problem naturally separates into parts. One is infinite volume operators, and another part is finite volume operators. So the most known representative of this case is a computation of cusp anomalous dimension, where you consider such operator, and number of oriented derivatives is very large. And in S go to infinity limit, we want to compute this quantity, which is twice cusp anomalous dimension. And this is a quantity used in the scattering amplitudes for in Wilson loops, for example. It's actually enters the BDS on that. Okay. So what is important about infinite volume? In infinite volume, you can construct a wave packet. You can expect to, you can do this. And then you can scatter to particles. And if you assume integrability, this means that scattering matrix is factorized. You can apply bootstrap approach by Zamolodchikov to a JCFT case. And, fix S matrix and then solve spectral problem. When you have finite volume problem, you cannot build really particles which are separated, just no space. So this approach will not work. But what I will try to convince you, we would like to hope that it should be solved by a bootstrap approach, not for scattered matrix, but for the objects that should be defined yet in this theory, and it should be a transfer matrix. To get motivated, let us see what bootstrap gives us in the infinite volume case. So we start factorized static matrix, which is our object to study, and we can see it's fixed by symmetry constraint, analyticity, and particle structure. Then it's filled completely the symmetry, the scattering matrix, and then by diagonalizing our states on a very large volume cylinder, we get asymptotic Betanzas, which eventually allows to find the spectrum. And explicit solution can be given from particular cases, and cusp anomalous dimension is one of these cases. Actually, when I say explicit, it's really explicit. So from Betanzas equation, there was derived a linear integration of Beisel and Studacher. It was analyzed numerically at weak and strong coupling. So basically, this is a numerical product of which is solution of this equation. And it was checked up to four loops at weak coupling. So this A8 means that it's four loops. So let us add here to the plot weak coupling. So this is a prediction by perturbative gauge theory. And it was checked up to two loops at strong coupling. So this is this curve. But finally, this equation by the tension to Eicher can be solved at weak and strong coupling to very high order. So basically, I can put here this pointer to the right, I can put many loops. So in principle, we can go with like 20 loops or so. It takes not so much time. I just connection to Mathematica to PowerPoint is a little bit slow. So basically, you can improve your expansion of the coupling. And okay, but you cannot go beyond point 25 because its radius converges to the theory. But actually, know what happens at this point. There is a square root singularity at i over 2, i over 4, its coupling constant. And actually, if you know this introduced information explicitly, you can prove up to this point. Okay, at a strong coupling, you also can go very far away. And you see, actually, it seems like it becomes worse, but because the series is asymptotic. And Basak-Archemsky computed first non-perturbative tempo expansion. And if you get at this tempo zig plot, it computes some integral. It's lifetime calculation, everything. Nothing is pre-computed. Okay, so basically, you see that it's complete intersection of everything, and it really solves the problem at real couplings. Probably the only thing we have is left here to go to complex coupling, but it's another story. So this is like a very motivating example, what can be. And we want probably to have something similar to in the finite volume case. So let us discuss what we expect the bootstrap approach to finite volume should be. So just to mention, this is not TBA approach of through the mirror series, something else. So first of all, we have to start from a good object. And the assumption, there is, should be exist something which is called transfer matrix. So this object we know for spin chains, like Heisenberg model. Well, you know it very well. And for some field theories, you can construct transfer matrix as trace over monodromy. Then we have to impose constraint, which will be symmetry. I will explain what is the symmetry here, the analyticity. And instead of particle structure, there is no particle, there will be information like pole zeros and asymptotic. So, and hopefully, in relativistic theory, it really works. If you impose these constraints, you can find a unique solution. And you can find either the thermodynamic by Tanzas equation, which mirrors TBA. Either you can find finite set of nonlinear integral equation, which is Distri de Vega. Why don't call it Distri de Vega? Because Distri de Vega derived this equation from the lattice. But we will derive it from some constraints on the transfer matrix without going to the lattice. Okay, and principle is an interesting question. You know that Y system sometimes solves some monodromy problems. So can the monodromy model in terms of partial differential equations solve the Y system? So it's a nice question for the future, but today we'll discuss second line. So when we formalize this equation, actually we have to do something with them, and we have to try to solve energy as a function of conserved charges, coupling constant, ask what is Konishi, BFKL, can be helpful to find correlation functions, et cetera. Okay. Okay. Let us discuss what we really know in the idea CFT case, because really this path is not established well in the idea CFT case. So first of all, in the idea CFT case, it's like a good case when we have spin chain a weak coupling and field theory a strong coupling. But to note, there is no transfer matrix which correspond to the Y system at weak coupling at all. I will explain why at the end of my talk. So at weak coupling, no definition at all. At strong coupling, due to next talk which for Rafael, which will be next, and due to the work of Gromov, Kazakov, Suboy, we know that P exponent of monodromy matrix, of Lux matrix, at strong coupling can be thought as a good candidate for transfer matrix. Okay, so coming to constraints, let us discuss probably the most important constraint is the symmetry. So I claim that symmetry should be manifested in the Hirota equation. So what is Hirota equation? So basically, T is what is supposed to be transfer matrix. We will call it T function because we consider eigenvalues of it. And it's function of three parameters. A and S are discrete parameters which live on some discrete lattice. And this lattice depends on a symmetry algebra of your model. So basically, this is 3, 1, 2. This means this is 3, this is 1, this is 2. So n to s, it just lives here. If s outside this lattice, t is 0 there. Okay? And then t depends on the spectral parameter u, and plus minus means shift of this parameter. So Hirota equation can be depicted on this way, like this term is this one, and et cetera. And basically, it's applied to each node of this lattice. You just choose a node, and you have Hirota equation. So this is still an infinite set of equations, but okay, it's manifestation of symmetry. So actually, why I say that it's symmetry? Because actually, Hirota equation is a quantum version of relation between characters. And let me be very, very simple. Let's consider a C2 case. And so on the level when plus and minus can be neglected, T becomes a character. And basically, it's a character at the place where it is identified. Here is a character on the corresponding Young tableau. So it's like third power, for example, of fundamental representation symmetrized. So, and let us just check. So, question for the characters. So, I take not arbitrary character by dimension of the representation of a simple. So, as a node S, it always will be S plus 1 because it's symmetric power of the corresponding. So, I just apply Hirota equation. Okay. Okay. I will not make full simplify. You can check by itself. Okay. So, let me say some facts about Hirota system, which is important. So, because it's quantum version of character identities, that is why I consider this as a question as a manifestation of the symmetry of a model. Actually, it's interesting that you can study spin chains in rectangular representations at finite temperature and consider all this bound state discussed in the morning. For arbitrary group, but for a particular representation, you can always get Y system. And so it's actually a non-trivial duality between bound state structure and representation of the symmetry algebra. So actually, for a particular case, it was known a long time and by many authors. Here, generalized just for arbitrary case. So another interesting property that actually, when you write this T-hoop shape on the previous picture, you find that all Young tableaus, which you can extract in this fat hook, or T-hook shape, actually can be mapped by bijective way, actually, to the highest way, unitary highest way representations. So in some sense, all these T-hooks, which appear in integrable model, serve a classification object for representation theory. So actually, it is true for everything except for T-hook. There's still a conjecture. I believe it is true. And for PC22/4, you just can get the classification Dobry-Petkova by inscribing Young tableaus, making some map to highest weight representations. And basically, all Young tableaus inside T-hook are unitary. All outside are not present as not unitary. And finally, why we consider T-functions in our case? Because quasi-classically, at large coupling, they were identified this paper with monodromy matrices of string sigma model. Okay, so I hope this T-function actually is the quantization of monodromy matrix. Okay, let us discuss important point about next constraint here, what is analyticity property. So in relativistic case, analyticity just says that transfer matrix is meromorphic, even analytic function in the complex plane. Here is not so, and I will explain the example of Y function. So Y function is the following combination of transfer matrices, and why I introduce it? Because Hirota equation is variant of this transformation called gauge transformation. So you have, in principle, rescale T's in some way to make Hirota equation variant. Y function is variant on this transformation, you consider it. So what happens? Y functions actually, so these blue lines are the T hook of PC22/4, and this circle is Y functions. There are small, less amount of them. So basically, what is interesting here, so let us start from fermionic Y11, which is lives here. So in the complex plane, this function has infinite number of square root branch points. So this is position 2g, g is the coupling constant. And this shift by I here, and this infinite set. So it's quite complicated function. The only simplification and very important simplification we have, if you take Y function far away from fermions, there is some strip which appears here. Actually, for function Y14, it's strip of length 3. For Y15, it will strip of length 4, etc. And we denote this property the following way. Y function belongs to analyticity function with analyticity strip. So this number means the distance between first cuts which appear. So near real axis, Y function is analytic, no cuts, but far away they have function. And the same happens for upper band, there is also some curve. Okay? So what is the problem with these cuts? Let us take, okay. Okay, except, so the problem, Hirota equation contains shift plus I over 2 in minus 2, so it's non-local equation, okay? And so basically this is y minus I over 2, this is y I plus over 2, and when you analytically continue this equation, you cannot do it everywhere, so you can do it per principle here, but if you want to go here, I mean, so y function will go to different Riemann sheets. So you don't really know Hirota equation everywhere you want. And that's the reason why this condition is not sufficient to find to uniquely constrain the problem. So additional conditions were realized in the paper of Kavaglia, Fioravanti, Tatel, and they generalized to excited state by Balog and Heydrich. And these are called discontinuity condition, which say how wave function jump on the cut. However, the problem is, so this is very important because this condition allow to find TBA equation, so derived from mirror TBA by these authors. But what is the drawback here? Because there is no physical interpretation of this condition. So, and for me, it's like very unfortunate because I want to make like physical argumentation to solve Y system. So there is no clear meaning of this condition in the physical, what's the physical meaning of them, and we try to improve this. So next point that is unlikely, this TBA equation is a very big, infinite set of integral equations, and we want to make something better. And finally, numerics from TBA for Konishi produce a mismatch if to compare with strong coupling computation. Finally, let us set all the classical level have transfer matrices. We see that all these four steps have some definite problems. But the good news, these are our problems 1 year ago. What I'm telling here is a statement approximately after the previous IGST conference. And so basically, I will speak about these three boxes, how to improve stuff here. So first of all, let us speak about Konishi. So what was the problem in 2009? Numerics of Gromov, Kazakov, Yera gave 2, just it's from FIT, and string computation for Bonsetten gave 1. And up to 2011, it was not clear what's happening all. But then in February, there were 3 groups. Well, you can understand from here, this is like Betanzatz group, this is string theory Green-Schwarz, this is string theory Pierre Spinner. They actually, I managed to get 2. They have, so this was analytical derivations, but there are some non-proof assumptions. It would be nice to prove them. And if you want, what is this construction, we can discuss later. So basically everybody get 2, and actually we understood why mismatch came. It's just was very tiny problem in logic, but in principle consideration of Robert Settle were correct, just very tiny, not correct interpretation, a little bit just. Okay, so in addition, in our paper, we derived like any JNNS expression as first quantum correction. And to say that 2 is not accidental, we just check numerics for J equals 3 as 2, and it matches. So if speak about mismatching Konishi operator, we now have agreement. Good. So let us discuss now discontinuity condition and how to make them physical. So this is like the most important part of my talk, and please ask me questions if you don't understand, because it's actually, this main message will be now. So let us consider in set of Y function, again, T functions, and condition that Y is analytic here means that you can construct a gauge when T from the right of this diagonal will be analytic in the larger domain. Okay? So basically, you can ask again, so this is symbolized, this is symbolic expression for Hirota equation. This means it's non-local, and we can analytically continue here. But what we can do, we can only, because there is some analytic strip, we continue on the real axis everywhere. And okay, let us do this, and let us produce magic sheet. So what is magic sheet? We analytically continue to the right, and then when we did this, we changed all the cut from long cuts to small cuts. It's just redefinition. And you see Hirota equation is satisfied everywhere here as well. So it's just a simple analytical continuation, and it's not a problem to satisfy there. So you see Hirota equation satisfied at least at large domains that you could expect it from the beginning. Okay. But up to what point it is satisfied? So if you go to T11, it is here. You see these cuts are too close to the real axis, and now mirror and magic Hirota equation do not talk to each other. You just cannot continue from one to another. But T11, you can continue because it has a real value. So let us ask the question, what is T11 plus T11 minus, but in the magic kinematics? Okay, in principle, it will include some T function from the left from the diagonal, and I don't know nothing about them because I cannot continue to the magic. So let us introduce new functions, which are called T-hat and corresponding Y-hat, which define as follows. From the right of diagonal, this function, analytical continuation from the mirror to the magic. So this I can do up to diagonal inclusive for T functions and up to diagonal non-inclusive for Y functions. Then to the left of diagonal, I define T functions, new object not related to T function of T hook, by demanding they solve Hirota equation on this two-dimensional strip, but in the magic kinematics. Okay? So this is my definition. I hope it is clear. So I start here, T function as the same as here, but in the different choice of cuts. But here it's defined by Hirota equation in this strip. So why this definition is nice? Because we have, because, for example, from TBA, from other approaches, there are a few different ways to see that T10 is equal to zero. So, this is some interesting query feature. So this guy here defined in this way, I told you is equal to zero. Well, okay, you might say, okay, it's some non-physical object, so what? I can rewrite this condition completely in a physical object, which is Y12 and Y13. So if I check shifts in the magic sense, you have this Y system equation. So you see fermions are decoupled from the equation. In principle, fermions cannot be continued to magic at all. They not exist there, but we do not need them there. We just have new equation, okay? And this is now, you can understand my picture from the beginning. So if you define magic kinematics, then Y system equation for Y12 is replaced by this guy. This is this point. And you see, it doesn't talk to any fermions, so I don't write fermions. And equivalent condition that T10 defined in the Gaussian region to the right is equal to zero. The same thing I can check for the right band, or for the upper band. So basically, if you cut this diagonal, go up, then make the same procedure, go to margin, and continue Hirota 4x4, you can check that this equation holds. Basically, at this point, no fermions in the magic sense, and this equation simplifies. And this means also that T01 is equal to zero, but T is in different gauge with analytic in the upper band. You cannot choose the gauge which have the both properties simultaneously. Okay. It's not the end of the story, and there is more magic in the magic sheet. Okay, let us discuss this. So we consider a Hirota equation as this two-dimensional strip. To the right of the diagonal is the same as Y system initial one. And let us understand condition, implication of this condition. So first of all, you know that Hirota is integrable model by itself, and it can solve by finite number of functions, which is called Vronskian solution. And this is how T1Y can be solved. Okay. Now you can choose change a gauge just by dividing by this guy to make simpler expression in some other gauge. But now this zero, of course, invariant gauge condition, and this means that Q2 bar equals Q2. Let us think, say one more interesting thing. So T1S had an elliptic strip. And to assure this strip, you can always choose Q2 equal Q bar in the way that Q2 has infinitely many cuts below, and Q2 bar has infinitely many cuts above. And when you take difference, you have some elliptic strip in between. So this is what we want. And you can actually show that you can always do this. So, but if they equal, this is what means. That means that we have only one cut. So simplification magic. We have infinitely many cuts, but actually we have only two cuts. So one cut for Q function, and there are only two cuts for T function. So this is magic. So let us continue magic. And from this equation, because Q2 equals Q2 bar, you can simply see that T1S equals minus T1 minus S. T0S is just equal to 1 by definition. I didn't say, but gauge transformation is such that it's equal to 1 by definition. So this is holds. Then by Hirota equation, it's easy to see that this holds. You can summarize in this property. And this is some symmetry of our T system, which we identify with Z4 symmetry of Velshi sigma model. So the reason if you go to quasi-classic, you can see connection to Z4 symmetry. That's why it calls this. Actually, this is Z2 part, bosonic subpart of this Z4. So this is a new symmetry of T system, which is realized on this magic configuration. Okay. So basically, for T function, which are to the right of the diagonal, there is an elliptic strip, okay? I take T function, I take the function, which is defined on, so, and continued from the mirror kinematics file, all the cut to the exterior. I continue it here, and then change definition of cuts, I go inside. Okay? Yes, basically this is the same formula. So this is the same formula as the physical kinematics, but the difference is it's not the same Riemann sheet if to compare with the physical sheet we used in the mirror TBA. But, I mean, cuts is the same structure. Actually, I believe that actually this is a physical sheet, but not the one that was used to consider before. Okay, but because physical sheet is reserved, you call it magic. Sorry, I forgot already about elliptic parameterization. We can speak probably later. Okay. So actually, the for symmetry I hold to the horizontal strip. This is one. But now we can do the same procedure. Make two diagonals here, consider everything above, and then continue through the magic below. And we can verify that for particular gauge, which is called black gauge, this condition also holds, and also Z4 symmetry. Okay. So this is a symmetry for model, and it doesn't hold for any gauge you can think about. So we expect that will be some special gauge, and we call it, and it's supposed to be physical gauge. If you define T as a transfer matrix of something, we have to have this T, but not some other gauge. So what other constraints we have to impose to this system? So first candidate is unimodularity. We know that quantum determinant, we have to expect that it is equal to one in our model. So in the paper of Gromov, Kazakov, Laurent, Suboy, superdeterminant was identified as the ratio of some Q functions, QMT set, QMT set bar. Actually, for rational spin chains, this object QMT set is very well understood and is actually exactly identity matrix. So I have to emphasize that it's one, it's not like function of spectral parameter times one. It's just one. It doesn't depend on spectral parameter. So it's like very important. And we assume that when one day we will define transfer matrices, this property will still hold. And therefore, QMT set bar should be I-periodic. Should bypass Iowa 2 is the same shift my I minus Iowa 2. This is a consequence of determinant one. Then T00 actually identifies this product, and this means it is periodic. And this is only modularity condition. Okay. Now I'm ready to list the complete set of properties which are obeyed by T and T black and T white gauges. So we expect that this gauge is like a physical kind gauges, one from the upper band. And actually, for some extent, it's also for the right band, but T is like physical for the right band with good only TCC properties. So what is the complete list we should impose? First, so in addition to unimodularity explained, before I explained, we have this condition Tn2 equal T2n. The reason for this is that representation on this line and on this line equal, so the transfer matrix is expected to be equal in a good gauge. So we impose this condition. So then we have properties that T has some analyticity strip, and we suppose there is no poles, minimal number of zeros, and this actually can show that if this gauge exists, it is uniquely fixed. No freedom left. Now, you will see why I want this. Yes, I impose. Okay, if you want to be more precise, I impose it on some first sheet, if you go from the mirror magic sheet and to start to cross cuts, I mean, if you cross, so after crossing cuts from mirror and from magic, you may have poles, but it's enough for me to do not have poles inside mirror and magic. Okay? T, another condition actually which you can see, you can check that this white gauge related to T gauge by some function f, which is square root of T00. Actually, it's very important function. The one was periodic. And this white gauge has property of analyticity strips and Z4 symmetry. And as I showed you, actually, I showed it for another gauge, but it also holds for this one. There is only two cuts. And this is condition can be bisected to symmetry condition and analyticity conditions. So we claim now that listed above properties, symmetry plus analyticity, plus correct large volume asymptotic, read asymptotic backtransatz should be satisfied when L goes to infinity. We claim that it's uniquely fixed solution of the Y system or Hirota system. In particular, we can derive TBA equations. So basically, there was previously there was this list of condition, and we replaced it by new one, which is exactly like in relativistic models. Now symmetry is not only Hirota, but also unimodularity Z4. And if you ask where an LT discontinuity condition went away, actually some part of them go to these properties and part went to simple analyticity properties. So discontinuity condition are a hybrid of this, all these properties. Okay, so now we have something which have nice physical interpretation, and we expect that one day it can be derived from first principles. I mean, from first principle definition of transfer matrices. It can be derived from TBA equation already. So if you assume perturbation equation, you can derive everything here. So, but I say, okay, we have TBA equation, equivalent TBA equation, and we can solve everything. But I forgot one important point. Do you know what is its point? Energy, okay, good. Yes, so I didn't say about exact Betanzas equation. So SNTB approach, Y function analytically continuous over this contour is should be equal minus one. But now I do not just postulate. I can say this is condition for absence of singularities in the physical T gauge. That's why I assume there are no singularities. This gives me this condition. And using wide gauge, I can write that equation like very symmetric form. I can go by this contour, divide by this contour, and get minus one. And actually, I prefer this one is the reason. So here, you had to impose the goal over first only cut, but it's like, it's hard to understand why I should not go through the second, through the third. There are many cuts, but here you have only two cuts. I go through the one, through another, and get minus one. It's physically very nice. And now the formula for the energy. So T function, 1, 0, which is supposed to be physical transfer matrix, derivative logarithm should produce conserved charges. Energy can be found at asymptotic at infinity. Okay. Actually, if you put here 0, 0, you have the same asymptotic. So you can choose what function you want. So now I will explain how to, instead of infinite set of TBA equation, how we can propose, how we can derive a finite set of nonlinear integral equation. So finally, so instead of TBA, we propose finally. So obviously, to write a finite system of equation, we need a finite system of functions, like obvious. So T functions are infinite number, but they can be solved by Wronskian parameterization. So let us first discuss right bound average to the right of diagonal. Here is things, so actually this right bound was already shown in the Kazakov-Stock last year ago, and related subject discussed in the paper of Suzuki. But we can discuss if it's equivalent or is something different. So basically, we already told you that there is a good gauge where T0s equals 1 and T1s equal Q plus S minus Q minus S. Basically, Q is minus Q2 from previous slides, and basically, you need only one function with only one cut to all completely solve this bound. But the problem, because of this shift, this function you have to know everywhere when it's a complex plane. So it's like you have to do better. And actually, what we want to do, we have to introduce density, which is jump of the function on this its single cut. And now use the property that from asymptotic Betanzas, we know that Q behaves in this way. Now, because Q function has only one cut, monodromy around this cut is trivial. So you cannot expect that this power becomes some complex power at finite volume because of topology argument. So behavior should remain the same at finite coupling. And this coefficient you can always normalize to whatever you want. So therefore, this Riemann-Hilbert problem, and the assumption, additional assumption, which come again from asymptotic Betanzas, it has a unique solution, and Q functions parameterize in terms of density with a finite support. So it's not only just density on the real axis everywhere, it's just density with a finite support. So everything solved in terms of this single function to the right bound. So how to fix the density? For this, you construct the following combination of Y11 and Y22. So Y11 is fermionic Y here, and Y22 is here. And in principle, if you take just Y11, it will be a ratio of T functions these neighbors and T functions these neighbors. And they are not expressible in terms of the function of the right bound where you allow to use this property. But what is nice, there is a magic ratio which expresses only to the four quantities of the right bound. It's very special, actually. It's appeared in different works already of other people from different reasons. But it's nice because it expresses only T function for the right bound. And if you substitute R on that, you can find further simplify and get this equation. So basically, Q already know, and Q shifted by minus I zero, you can replace by principally a value of integration and some density function in front. Okay? So basically, you have nonlinear integral equation of the density function, and you think about this equation as quadratic function of rho with some source term which is integral. So numerically, this integral is smaller than rho itself, so you can iterate and you can find solution. So this is how a rho function is fixed if we know Y11 is Y22. So now let's go to the upper bound. Okay. You can of course, understand that it's much more complicated because SU4 group here, and it's much complicated. So let us reduce 10 functions. And don't worry, final answer will be only in terms of two functions, but let us start for 10 functions which parameterize this bound. So I will now construct a Vronskian solution in this bound. Many people here know this solution, but I will construct in the way in the notation which probably you don't know. So let us introduce four Grassmannian variables, psi1, psi2, psi3, psi4, and construct one form from it, q, and the same for p. Then let us introduce two forms, which is q plus h q minus over q empty set. So if you're at a company, this is a Plucker identity. So qij with two indices defined by Plucker identity, but you can define in this nice way, and don't write indices at all. Then you can use qc with three indices as three form of this fused of h product, divided by fused of QMT set. I have to mention QMT set here is, so this is not complete T-hook, but part of this, so QMT set doesn't have properties that is just equal to one, it's some function. So this is because it's not complete system, so QMT set is not really QMT set in the group theoretical sense, it's just parameterization. So you can construct Q2, Q3, and Q4, everywhere you have just a fused product. The same you can do with P, so you have many functions, and T is solved on this bound in this way. So I would like to say that this ansatz, first of all, you can check that it's verified, Hirota equation, but also you can show, given a Hirota equation, you can always find such Q function, at least in principle. This equation about possibility to solve Baxter equation, number of solution of Baxter equation. You can construct Baxter equation, and assuming the solution exists, you can always construct Q functions. So basically, in general position, this and that always exists. So this is nice formula, summarizes all the T functions upstairs. Let us now fix all these 10 parameters which is in origin. So first of all, P's are complex due to reality condition can be expressed as a complex conjugation combination of Q's. This is not like P equal to Q bar just, but some combination. But you can do this. Then you have to define Q's, and this is all the set of Q's you have. So initially I have five Q parameters, which are here, but you can choose other five, which are these ones, to parameterize everything. And the reason I choose this one, when you go to asymptotic large volume limit, these five functions survive, while other functions are suppressed with exponential in volume. This is why I choose this basis. But now we have also gauge freedom. I think I forgot to say that we consider SL2 sector and symmetric distribution of vector roots. Now I will use, we consider SL2 sector to find additional constraint between Q functions. So gauge freedom allows us to put Q1 equal to 1, and Q2 we will put to some polynomial, and degree of this polynomial is number of beta roots, but this actually not beta roots, only asymptotically this is a beta roots. At finite volume, this Q will be just parameter which can be fixed from additional constraint. And this also not exact beta roots, just some parameters. Then, so this actually finish our gauge freedom on the level of Q functions. And now we can use the left-right symmetry, which is valid in the SL2 sector. We consider only this case in this work. And this symmetry allows you to, again, to choose Q previous one Q1 to 4 equal Q2, Q2 to 3. So what happens, we have only two functions which parameterize everything, Q2 and Q1 to 3. Okay. So Q2 appears to be an absolute analog of Q function, but it's more complicated. So here, first of all, we have polynomial, which is m minus 1, m is number of beta roots. Rho 2 is finite supported density, and this is some like wrapping correction which comes to Q2. So Q2 is not, doesn't have finite number of cars, but rho 2, which basically defined it, has. And Q2 can be found from the similar magic ratio in the upper band. And so basically, instead of Q and Q2, we have two-way fermionic wave function, Q1 to 3, to parameterize everything. So now I explain how to close equations. So first of all, from this data, we found our three initial parameterizations. Then we can find through Klüker identities all the t's here. It's some upper gauge, and just directly t here. So now from this data, we can again, we want to get here. And to do this, actually, we now use the property that these gauges are related to the physical gauges. So it's from gauge transformation. And physical transformation has the property of analyticity, unitarity, Z4, et cetera, which allows you to write some equations, which actually just solution some Riemann-Hilbert problems, like if you want optical theorem, which allow you again to fix that. So this, you repeat this loop, at which step you impose Betanzas equation, and this is a finite set. So I wrote here a complete system of equations. So it probably looks a little bit scary, but it's still simpler, much simpler than the infinite set of equation of TBA type. And there are many parameterizations here, but not equation by the cell. I actually wrote in green what are equations. So there are not too many of them, one, two. This is a set of Klüker, like there are many equations, but they're all the same shape. And you have two equations for Y11 is this equation, and Y22 is just analytical condition of Y11 over the cut, and you easily understand what's the second equation. And Q1 to 3 has the most complicated equation, which, okay. And dressing phase sits here in principle. And actually, it comes from periodicity of T0, 0, I didn't say this. So we explicitly check our solution for the case of Kanishi operator. And if you run Mathematica for some time, you produce some data. And basically, here I will evaluate some summary of this data. I sent to Sebastian to prepare it as a summary. And let us. Well, let us try a little bit better. Okay, that's it. So basically, these are densities for three functions which you introduce. So you see at weak coupling. So, okay, red line is an asymptotic solution, and blue line is a numerical date. So you see, basically, this red line is just perfect square root, like in matrix model, and at weak coupling, you see that it's fairly reproduced, but actually, rho 1, 2, 3, is even at weak coupling, is more complicated function. And for the moment, we have data by up to g equal 2, but okay, for this is what's like to make sure that everything works. So we get a solution, we get complete agreement with TBA predictions. How much time do we have? Oh, great. Okay, so let us now discuss what we get. So I think what we managed to show here is that in this bootstrap program for finite volume, we really managed to make this line green. So we force condition, which yet to be derived from the first principle, but you have to we expect that you get them. And you get finite system of equation. We checked Konishi, but of course now it's a question we make some systematics. And of course the most important question, what's on a classical level only. So what systematic we can do? So weak coupling, like, well, when we want to go to high loops, we can probably check some transcendentality structure of zeta functions. And I think what I see so from the form of Findlay equations, that it should be make, after you make like work, because equations are many of them, you can really do it systematically. Because it contains only three simple kernels, Cauchy kernel, Zhukovsky kernel, which appear in the dressing phase, which is the magic kernel of PS paper, actually. And the third is a polygamma function. Three kernels, and that's all. So strong coupling, we can ask asymptotic Bell-Sommerbell. So I believe that we still not at the point to attack strong coupling, if you wish ask me why later. But okay, it's first step was done. Okay, we want to, we can ask question if you can check BFKL too many loops. So this is, I think it's still complicated very question because parameter number of roots is a parameter of our system. And of course you have to each number of roots you can solve. What we good that in principle this condition gives you Riemann-Hilbert problem, and input for this Riemann-Hilbert problem is a structure of zeros, and you know the structure by requiring how many beta roots you have. So you do not have complication how to define solution, because it's a solution of Riemann-Hilbert problem which is defined with a given structure of poles. So at least we have and hope that we have some systematic and how to define equation for different beta roots. Okay, now the most interesting, I think the most urgent probably thing to understand is how to define transfer matrix at weak coupling. So naively you can think that at weak coupling you have a rational spin chain. Everything you know, this is PSU2/4 spin chain. It's very nice and you can construct transfer matrices. But what happens if you construct them, these are not transfer matrices which you obtain from the small coupling limit of Y system. And explain why. Y system has many cuts. Hirota equation is defined here. And transfer matrix is defined here as well. And then go to weak coupling, everything collides, and T-hook disappears. You cannot define T-hook. So like this is the reason that like PSU2/4 set of transfer matrices you expect for rational spin chain, which should exist, of course, is not the one of these that is this limit. Okay, you can, of course, try to expect to magic kinematics, and but Hirota will survive this weak coupling limit. But the problem with magic kinematics that T-hook is decomposed on the horizontal and vertical lines. So somehow in this picture, it's clearly that weak coupling somehow broke explicit PSU2/4 symmetry. And I think at the point we know weak coupling more or less well, and we have to really to study what happens and how we define transfer matrix at weak coupling. And of course, we have to proceed fast and construct transfer matrices at strong coupling, which will be discussed in next talk. So it's as an interesting approach. In particular, it will be, well, I think Rafael will discuss. And let me just finish with some remark. So there is often opinion that what is the discussion, what is the object is fundamental in all this construction. So Finley system of equation, Finley is written for the Q function, but not for T functions. T functions appear only in the intermediate state. So of course, this means that Q functions are fundamental. But the point here, the only way we can understand Q functions at this point is through Y and T functions. So we really, we have to start from TBA, then to make work, understand what is the T functions. Okay, we understood, and we can start now for T function. And now we have to consider Baxter TQ equations to find properties of Q functions. So it's not like a way you construct Q operator from the beginning and go this direction. It would be very nice, but at the moment we don't have this. We have this flow. And due to this, okay, Q is fundamental, but you should know a lot of things about transfer matrices to say everything about Q functions. So of course, this is a point. So you can call it fundamental, but T functions, you have to know about them as well. And at strong coupling, of course, T functions, at least it was identified with monodromy, but Q functions were not identified. They have to do this. So this is the end of my talk. And thank you for attention.
Thank you very much.
Okay, critical values. So, okay, so basically what happens here, So you define your Q function. So basically, you don't have, so you start from some ansatz from Q functions, which is finite integral to g to g, rho of v minus v, plus some polynomial, well, plus some stuff. So basically, this is basically defined for imaginary part u bigger than zero. So this formula works in the upper half plane. And you have some, due to this polynomial, you have some number of zeros here. And you can check position of zeros with asymptotic beta ansatz. Now, what wrong can happen at, and the only wrong that can happen is finite coupling, that actually below the real axis, there is some zero which will cross the real axis to modify this ansatz. So first of all, I want to say that for the moment, we did not consider cases which potentially may happen. I even cannot say the moment if it can happen at all. But supposing that it's possible, I just want to say this is only one function you have to check. And there is a possibility to, on the strip I over 2 from here, to control it. So what I want to say is that if something will approach real axis, we will notice. And if you notice, what we have to do, we have to shift a little bit control of integration and modify ansatz. But at the moment, I mean, really, in real life, we did not encounter this problem yet. And because T function constructors from these Q functions, I mean, all the possible spurious zeros which appear is just consequence of this equation. There's only one.
And does your energy formula reproduce Lussard collections?
It's exact.
No, no. I mean, like, you can you compute, well, 5-loop conditional twist in your formula or strong coupling? Pardon? No, no. I'm talking about the exact energy expression, which I don't know how to derive it.
You, what is the question? How to derive this formula?
Yeah, energy.
yeah, so correct. I mean, so basically, you can derive it from TBA equation, but I can explain it like in an answer on discussion talk.
I also have a quick question. So, mm-hmm. How numerically efficient is this new definition of the energy formula? Can you read off to? Mm-hmm. Can you read off numerically precisely enough from this asymptotic formula?
Energy formula?
Yes.
Okay, practically for numerics, of course, you have to use integral equation because when you do numerics, it's of course you have to make some integral. It's better to replace asymptotic by some integral. And it's, so we have integral representation like in your work. And for numerics, you definitely use this one. But when you go, we want to understand something analytically, this of course will be an advantage. No, the question was, can I use asymptotic at large U to find energy? Of course, asymptotic at large U, numerically, it's not the base place to. For the moment, I mean, you have to understand that TBA was for 4 years, and we just get numerics not so long ago. And it is, for the moment, it's the same magnitude of speed. Okay, you have to understand, we still, okay, for the moment, we have to maturize a little bit computation. It definitely works, but you have to spend some time to make it work better. I can probably answer this question like in 2 months and when it will be like, when it will be. No, we did it like for 5 points. From g equal 2 to g 0.14, I mean, it's most of the important points. No, I mean, for the moment, we have to establish that everything works and all equations are correct. And yeah, of course, we have to do this. I mean, it's you cannot do everything at once. Not yet. It just everything goes gradually. We didn't try it yet. Okay. Yeah. No, we consider only conditions. We check for conditions that our approach would. J equals 3 forms TBA. We will do this next. So for the moment, it's only Konishi on the level of coupling the SMOs from TBA. And the our goal was to check that we make something which is consistent. Okay.
So one thing I don't understand is the following. I mean, you say you have now a finite system of equations. And I think even though there's no proof, it's highly likely that you have analyticity at weak coupling for Konishi. So then, think about this, so as you mentioned in the beginning, BES equation. I mean, then you have to, the hard problem is the one loop problem, which is really nonlinear. But then, perturbation theory on this first order is just linear. And that's why at weak coupling, it's very, very easy to just slap the BES equation on the computer and get any order you want. So what I don't understand why, if you say you have the equations, and we know one loop, why can't you just very quickly with Mathematica produce first 20 loops of Konishi?
I mean, I think you can do this, but I mean, this is complicated. No,
it just sounds a bit suspicious. I mean, if you say you have the equations, from my argument I just gave, you should immediately give 10 orders of...
I mean, you had one equation, okay? We have finite system, but it's not one.
But do you understand the argument? Like, one loop is nonlinear, and then from then on it should be linear.
No, I agree that you can this set of equation will allow to systematically produce answer at weak coupling to many loops. I agree with this statement. But again, you have to work on this, and you cannot do it like this evening. And after some time, it will be done.
No. But I mean, if you have an equation, even if it's for a finite coupling, it's a nonlinear equation. But if you perturb, perturbation theory is always linear.
No, well, what I say is that you can do this, okay? But I don't see objection to do this. But you have to make it gradually. So first you derive equation, and then you have to spend some time to really. So the point that you have one equation. And you can develop one kernel that was easier. Here I have my equation, and you have to sit down for a few weeks and understand how to teach Mathematica to expand. You can do. I think you can do this. Yes. I mean, it depends what equation in what region. I show you CASP, you cannot expect better.
Well, I hope it will be possible to do. I'm just...
No, again, I don't think that G equals 0 is complicated. It just has to be done.
Do you mean small radius or large radius?
Once more, it can be done. I agree that it can be done. It was not done, that's all. You have to sit down and do it. Yes. I'm not sure. I mean, you don't have this picture, so difficult to identify. I mean, we can discuss if it's equivalent. Or probably you did not simplify it to the... Did you find that T10 equal to 0? Yes, okay, but you have some equations, but... if you write this formula... if you have this formula... You had it? Okay, so, okay, then. So you had explicitly this formula. Okay, so in this answer equivalent.
Yes.
And about the vertical slip, you introduced parameters u tilde n, which is, I don't know how do you relate it, beta roots.
Okay, so this is answer the following. So. T00 is basically Q12 conjugated plus some higher order corrections on wrapping. Okay, so we know that asymptotically T00 is just Baxter function squared, and we also know that at finite coupling it has double zeros at position of beta roots. As follows from conditions, there is no singularities. You can check this. So basically, there is double zeros position of the exact beta roots. So what I write here, that this is leading term. So it should be, I expect it to be polynomial in U. So and times conjugated. And it should produce, and because there is corrections, these zeros are not exactly beta roots because of corrections. And this, why, what happens? I introduce this polynomial, the driving term is this expression, and adjust this U tilde such that this guy has zeros at beta roots.
So I think slowly we have to move on, so let's thank Dima again.